Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Coaching Conversations. We have a very special episode today. With us, we have special guest Mitchell Levy. How are you, Mitchell?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And just prior to airing, we decided together that we may change the format a bit, and I'm excited for our listeners. But let's introduce you, Mitchell, and what we're going to be talking about. So Mitchell is the aha guy who empowers thought leaders to share their genius. He is an accomplished entrepreneur who has created 20 businesses in Silicon Valley, including 4 publishing companies that have published over 800 books. And selfishly, he was very excited when the connection was made between you and I to talk a little bit about your publishing and how you help thought leaders really take thought and make it into action with a book. Because selfishly, I was considering, timing is always perfect, how the universe kind of connects people. So today we're going to talk a little bit about your background, and I think you're going to actually try to coach me a little on the air. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Mitchell?
It sounds like fun if we're talking about coaching conversations for the key coach to be coached. So I enjoy turning that light bulb on, getting people to have that aha moment. And in today's world, we've so condensed the opportunity or the amount of content that's coming at us that we really need to, when we're talking with other people or when we're consuming data ourselves, we really need to consume things quickly. You know, we want that quick 7-second soundbite to capture our attention before we decide to move forward. You know, remember the old days when you were first meeting somebody, you were told to practice your 30-second elevator pitch. Well, nowadays, you don't get to start with your 30-second pitch. You have to start with like 5 or 7 seconds before somebody wants to continue to talk with you. And so what I've been doing in Silicon Valley is watching trends and watching society. And I was part of the e-commerce movement 20-plus years ago when we first started learning about the internet and e-commerce and the transformation that's going to happen in society. And what I'm seeing now, which is really exciting, because if you think about the evolution of e-commerce and the internet, what's happening, we're only halfway between the industrial age and the social age. And for those that are interested, I did a TED talk where I talk about what we need to do. And if you could always go to Google and type in Mitchell Levy TED talk and it'll pop up, or go to YouTube and type in being seen and being heard as a thought leader. And you could see both the TED talk, and I have also have a book that represents that. And what I'm doing now is I do have a product and service that we'll talk about. But I'm helping people understand in this transitional period, in the way when we're moving from this industrial society, which was time and motion studies, and the work was not fun, and people did one thing, and they only did that one thing well, to the place where work is supposed to be fun. As a matter of fact, if work equals play, and then you can play all the time. And so I'm helping as much as I can. I'm helping us see a footprint on how do we make that transition. And that's what I'm doing now, and I love it. Every day I wake up, I love what I do.
Awesome. So taking that, how do you take it for myself? Say I have all these thoughts, and I want to put it in print. What would be your recommendation for the first step?
So the first question I always ask is, who is the customer base you're going after? So who's your target audience?
Are you posing that question to me?
Let's do that. Who are you, and what do you target when you talk to somebody?
Well, it's generally for me in my practice, this is a great question because my audience varies. I think I usually have people coming in looking for maybe a little bit more meaning in life, and that can encompass, this is where it's challenging for me, so maybe you can help me. You know, they all come from different backgrounds. I've seen everything. I've seen attorneys. I've coached professional athletes, retired children. And in my niche, where I coach, is I help them kind of get in touch with their own inner knowing. so that they can be guided in a direction by just by working through, you know, stripping the circumstance and knowing what's best for them and then applying it. So with that, some of my modalities is energy psychology and mindfulness. So I have these big concepts that I have to now try to niche and put into print. So that's where my challenge is, and that's where I thought maybe with your expertise, what you've seen or how you...
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, I love it. And, and
okay.
So the age range, who's your primary target? I know you went from children to retirees, but is there a...
Right.
Is there... if you look at 80% of your revenue, does it come from 20% of a particular target?
I would say yes. I say anywhere from the mid-30s to probably the mid-40s, 50s, like in that age group. 30 to 50
Got it.
Is the age pocket is my majority of my clients.
So this is that typical midlife crisis thing, right?
Exactly.
I got out of what do people do? I got out of my... I've been following the blueprint that society has told me for my life. I'm now somewhere between 30 to 50. And, you know, this kind of sucks. And how do I get, before I die, how do I do something that's meaningful? Or how do I do something that's different? Or how do I live life for me? Right? And so that's really, so that sounds like the audience that you're, it's a broad audience, but that's where you're going after. Okay.
Exactly.
And then what do? You help them find, you said you help them find their inner spirit, but is it like their inner child or is there do they become more spiritual? Do they become more inner focused? What is it that you...
Well, my specialty is really personal power. Personal power. Most people come in and it's usually a circumstance. They'll either be blaming their job, their relationship, you know, or just maybe just feeling completely stuck. Where I try to show them that that's an expression, you know, that's stuck, which is a good, you know, that they're aware that there's an expression stuck. And then I try to tap into, instead of putting all their attention and focus on all the outside circumstance and all their energies being drained doing that, that really the key answer is to go inward and do a little bit of that introspection and see what that expression is telling them. And that's where we start the conversation, and that's where we start working. You know, everything is in relation to who you are, and, you know, let's find out that expression and then work from that platform up out.
And so when they first come in, is there a generic thing they'll say? Is there, what's the pain? If you think about their pain point, what is the pain they're experiencing? What do they vocalize?
Most of it is some type of discontent. And it depends what level of discontent. If it's been going on for quite some time, they could be very unclear, very confused. Some just seeking more expression, just a strong discontent, wanting more. And that's kind of what we do. You know, tell me more about that feeling. What brought you here? A lot of it too in my work is, you know, let's change. We can't keep staying in that thinking. You know, you keep staying in that pattern of wanting to stay in that pattern. Let's look outside and let's see what we can do, bring more possibilities in so we can explore. So it usually starts with a stuck feeling or discontent. I see many, or, you know, and there's others. It tends to be very, I think you asked about spiritual. I find that a lot of them end up, once they find the meaning behind it, it does become spiritual for them. Not religious, but a spiritual experience.
Got it. So let me jump to the end result. The title of your book series, or the title of your books, and we'll start with one, your title of your book is the actual pain point that your prospects are feeling. So it could be, I'm stuck in my job. I feel discontent. I need help. That could actually be a title of your book. Or it could be you throw in those buzzwords and you say something that's more directed, feeling stuck, feeling discontent, want to feel better, right? And what you may also want to do is specifically target for a book a specific audience. So, just hit my midlife crisis, or the subtitle could be hit your midlife crisis as a male who's 40 or as a female between 40 and 50, right? And Because what happens, let me step back. So what happens is when you're feeling this, when anybody who has pain, what happens is they're going to say, well, how do I solve this? And if they know, right. if they have a family member or a friend or somebody they trust and they said, what did you do? You seem like you're doing better now. And that person has a recommendation, they'll go to that recommendation. If they don't have a friend or if they want to do a little bit more research, they're going to type in the phrase, their pain point, into Google. And how cool would it be if the title of your book pops up when they type in what they're looking for from Google? Because then what they're saying is, oh, this person might be able to help me, right? And that's kind of what it's all about. Does that make sense?
Awesome. Totally. So I guess in reflection, people are drawn first to, they identify with where they're at, the feeling. And would you recommend that would be, if I'm in pain, I would be, not instead of looking for happiness, you think they'd be searching more for the pain, identifying with the pain to pull out a title in a book?
Well, the thing that's interesting is, and so what I say is the title of the book is typically the pain point your prospect is experiencing. Because what happens, let me give you an example. So I have a book that's, I mentioned it once, but I'll say it again. Imagine if I'm sitting in a meeting and there are 50 executives in the room and all of a sudden the host says, hey, you know, everyone stand up and give your 10-second elevator pitch. Now, let's assume you're in this meeting and there's a ton of other coaches and a ton of other authors. And everyone stands up and says, I am a coach of blah, 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 an international best-selling author, right? And that's what people use and waste their 10 seconds on. So I stand up and I say, hey, I'm Mitchell Levy, the aha guy at aha that. I empower experts and thought leaders to share their genius, and I'm an international best-selling author of the book Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. So you could say that statement's a positive, being seen and being heard as a thought leader. You could also say, well, that's a pain point. How many people are out there who want to be seen and be heard as a thought leader? And if I'm holding my book against my chest or holding it up, you know, so people could see it, it's a pretty cover, and people go, oh, being seen and being heard as a thought, I need to do that. Maybe I need to talk to Mitchell. So I'm trying to appeal to them in such a way. I'm sorry, say that again.
I love the title, by the way. Yep.
It drew me in. Oh, thank you. Well, that's the thing is, you know, you could play with the title, right? You don't have to come up with the exact title today, but what you're feeling is if you could actually have the title of your book and the content of your book appeal to the pain point, right? Here's the pain point. So if you could demonstrate to somebody that you understand their pain point, they want to talk to you because you might be the expert that could help solve their problem.
Beautiful.
And so the reason why I said multiple books is that you want to address the pain point in every niche you can identify. So you may have a similar book on the inside, not the same, but you may have a similar book on the inside and actually change that book for every audience. And then when somebody Googles it, I'm a 40-year-old female and my kids just went off to school. I don't know what to do with the rest of my life. And your book pops up, right? The one that says, hey, you're 40, your kids just went to school and, you now need to figure out what to do with your life. I mean, all of a sudden you're the expert because you've answered their pain. You've at least addressed their pain. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally does. So
cool.
Believe it or not, time wise here. Let me ask you. I have lots of questions for you. I have this idea. What is the very first step? How do you actually take an action step to start writing a book?
Got it. So one of the things I recommend, go to ahathat.com/author. We have a 3-step writing process. And step one is the first step you take, regardless of whether or not you publish with us. So go to ahathat.com/author. Step one is a Word document. And in that Word document, it has 4 questions. Fill out those 4 questions. Once again, whether or not you use AhaThat or not. And just as an aside, AhaThat are books. You can write a book in 8 hours if you do it yourself, or we could actually interview you for 2 hours, and then we'll pull the genius from your head, and my team of ghostwriters will write the book for you. And our books are comprised of 140 bite-sized quotes and 7 blog posts. So you're creating a book whose content is easy to consume, i.e., if you give the book to somebody, and by the way, this is how you market yourself, you send somebody who's the key prospect, you give them a signed copy of your book, they only need to spend a couple minutes reading through some of those aha messages, and they go, oh, I got it. Whereas if you gave them a book of 25,000 words, they'll put it on their desk, they'll say they'll read it, and then a year from now, they'll wonder why they haven't read the book yet.
Awesome. So that is the essence. Is you're saying, I was going to ask you, how can I write a book in 8 hours? Do you say we're going to
Well, if you look at the three-step process, the step one, that Word document has four questions, and it's, you know, what's your name, what's your bio, what is the title of the book, a one-paragraph summary. The most important question, though, is question one, and what it says is who is the reader and what are their expectations, and what that's really saying is who is your prospect and what is their pain point. Because if you identify the prospect you're going after and you wrote in that way, and then step two, we have a guideline on how to write an aha book, and step three is the Excel spreadsheet that you put your content into. So you could do it manually and write yourself, or and this is typically what I'll say to most business people. If you're in business today and you're effective in your business, then you shouldn't waste your time writing and publishing your own book, because every minute, every hour you spend writing a book if you don't need to and publishing a book if you certainly don't need to is 1 hour you could spend with a book in hand. If we ghostwrote the book for you, we spend 2 hours with the interview and then the 3 hours reviewing, you get to review the content. So you spend about 5 hours with us. So every hour you spend, if you write and publish your own book, is an hour you should be spending with your book in hand, helping other people understand who you are and how you could help them. So what are we out of time?
No, you're fine. You're perfect. Go ahead. Nope, continue.
Oh, well, what I have to say is a lot of times if you're going to write a 120-page book, it'll take you 120 hours. We publish over 800 books, so that's pretty much on average. If you're going to publish yourself, we save the author 200 hours worth of time. So that's 320 hours. So what I'd say is if you get our high-end package where we actually are writing the book for you and then publishing it in paperback and hardcover, Kindle, PDF, and also the Aha.com platform, and we also, for that package, we also make you an Amazon best-selling author. If we do that, and when you spend 5 hours, imagine what your business would look like if you could take the difference between the 320 hours and the 5 hours. You could take 315 hours. You're now an Amazon best-selling author, and you're now going after new business. Imagine what that will do for your business versus spending the time writing and figuring out how to publish your book.
I love it, because when we made contact, the ghostwriter, I was not really familiar. I was familiar with the concept, and I did some research. So I'm glad you're touching upon that. So can you just, for the novice listener, a ghostwriter, exactly what is considered a ghostwriter? Can you give us
Sure. A ghostwriter is when somebody else is writing your ideas down. And how they get that information is a number of different ways. It could be from interview. It could be from presentations. Could be from, you know, either PowerPoint or keynote speeches or other presentations you made in the past. Could be from blog posts. But in essence, you're giving somebody else the task to write for you. So for us, what we do, and right now I'm the primary interviewer, I will take what we did in the first 10 minutes and I will make sure we focus on a clear objection, a clear pain point for a prospect and what age. And then we'll spend 2 hours talking. And in that 2 hour conversation, I'm really going to pull the genius from your head, because you're going to be talking about, my perspective will be your prospect and their pain point. I'm going to pull out the key elements that are of concern of that, either you address directly or objections that your clients have before they hire you. And then what happens, I have a team of ghostwriters, so we send them through writing school, and so they learn how to do it. And what they're doing is they're pulling out the aha messages. They're pulling out your words of wisdom, because they single aha message in some cases could be more than enough to get somebody to go, I can relate to this person. And our books have 140 of those aha messages. You only need one or two before your prospect goes, ah, I need to talk more with you. Was that helpful?
Yes, very much so. Now, the other question I had is, someone, would all the credits go to the actual person hiring the ghostwriters?
That's a great question. Now, every ghostwriter and every firm is different this way. Generally speaking, though, ghostwriters are, by definition, ghost. So they do the work on the writing, but they don't get the credit. So with us, the author owns 100% of the copyright. So after we're done writing and we have those 140 aha messages for you, which is step three of our writing process, we send those to you and you get to update them, right? So you get to put them into, in some cases, the writers may have captured the true essence of what you were trying to say. In some cases, they may have missed the mark. So you get to take a look and update that. And so by the time the book is published, it is really your book because you've spent the time constructing the cover. There's front matter of the book, which is introduction, acknowledgments, dedication. You've written that piece of it. And so it is really the author's book, and the author gets 100% credit and owns 100% of the copyright. Just as an aside, for us, we're a publisher, so we'll distribute in 80-plus locations, and the author makes 51% of profit based on book sales. Not that you're actually writing a book to hope you make money on book sales, because we're, as a coach, your monetization of your book is the fact that you're putting your book in the hands of the people who could potentially buy your service, and your coaching services should dwarf the money you make from that, should dwarf the money you make from book sales.
Awesome. So is there any last insight you'd like the listeners out there to know, either about yourself or, you know, inspiring them to go ahead and take that next step and to write a book?
You know, the most important, I guess what happens in today's world, and this is directly from the TED Talk, we do business with those that we know, like, and trust. Now, the like and trust piece you get from being you and doing business the way business should be done. The know part, you either get clients from people who know you today or friends that recommend you. And what I want to recommend is you want to expand the number of people that know you. And the best tool in the marketplace to show that you're an expert in a particular area is to have a book. And if you could snap your fingers and have your book, and typically we do books is about 2 months from start to end. The quickest we've ever done a book is 4 weeks. So if you're going to be speaking at an event and you don't have a book yet, or if you're going to be really trying to kill your marketing, having a book whose title addresses the prospects you're going after. I'm not going to say the book sells itself because it's still the author who's going to then say, hey, here's my book. But that book is third-party credibility that you have expertise in an area. And people say when you've written a book, particularly if it's a best-selling book, when people look at that, they go, oh, maybe this person can help me. Now, the book is not going to sell your consulting services or your product or other things. In some cases, it does. But what the book's going to do, it's going to open up that additional conversation, and that's when you sell. So as a coach, the more people who are coming to you or the more people you reach out and you are specifically telling them by the title of your book that you can help them, the more opportunities you get to close consulting business and make money and have fun.
Awesome. Well, we're talking after this show. Definitely, for
beautiful.
Sure. So can you tell our listeners how they can research you or get a hold of you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. So the best way, if you want to explore the process, you go to ahathat.com/author. It'll show you the three-step process. There's some testimonials there. We also, if you click on the sheet that brings you to our prices, we have a lot of customer testimonials that you can actually hear and see how people are making this happen for themselves. So that's at ahathat.com/author. And the other thing I'll say is I try to practice what I preach. And so if you just Googled Mitchell Levy, MITCHELL, last name LEVY, I'll come up in 5 of the top 10 searches. and connect to me on the social media platform that you like to interact in. So whether it's LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snap, or Google+, what I'll do is when you communicate to me that way, I'll get back to you and try to point you in the right direction. Or if it makes sense for us to talk, we'll make sure we set up time so we can actually have a conversation to talk about whether or not your situation makes sense, which, by the way, if you're in business today, you need a book. Matter of fact, you not only need a book, you need a handful of books for each niche you're going after. So I'd love to continue the conversation with you if you found this fascinating.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And all our listeners, you
can
see Mitchell's your bio and information is on our website, which is wnylifecoaching.com. Appreciate your time. We'll be in touch. Thank you, Mitchell.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks. Have a great day, everybody. Bye now.
Okay. Thanks for being with us, Mitchell. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.